Tuesday, June 11th, I believe. Let me confirm. Yeah, June 11th, 2025. And today's quite a momentous day. I figured part of today's morning ritual, as it is about 6 a.m. in the morning here, I'd ruminate a bit about all the things going on. If you hear cutting sounds, it's because I'm also trying to put together the last remaining touches of the somatic magic parcels that I hope to be shipping today before I head in to work early. And I'm heading into work early today because I set up a meeting with my current bosses to break the news to them that I will be leaving their company and I will be leaving the state entirely in the fall. I will be a Seattle resident no more.
So of course, in my chaotic, brilliant mind, I decided to add even more weight to the walloping projects that I have going on right now. And instead of finalizing one video and audio cast of which I have scripted, I've decided to make it a three-part extravaganza in which all parts will correlate to hauntomantic tenets. And in a way, it's a perfect kind of distillation through medium as a, you know, praxis, in that it will culminate in a new foundation and a new era and a new chapter. And I thought the best way to do so would be to look back 3 months of, I think, the ultimate setup of what the dimming room was. Then to harken back to just 3 weeks ago when I was in the, let's say, the throes of a magnanimous transformative moment which could or could not be, you know, leading to the third, which I'm saying will be in 3 months from now, which I hope is the culmination of everything that has happened before. Anyways, back to the scheduled programming of tonight's Audiomancy. The Lost Album from Rebel Roz, entitled Roz Al Ghul. And yeah, those that don't know, this album was hard labored, multi-track produced by me, all in the dimming room. Recorded about 9 songs, maybe 10, at plus an assortment of many others, but after releasing this song as a song sigil and another one, I found the songs themselves changing, and through the hauntomancy practice, you know, I started like self-sampling my even recent self and deconstructing the songs and turning them into the current iterations, which will be the proper debut. But this was supposed to be the first true Rebel Roz debut album wide release. And for the first time ever, and probably for good reason,
I decided to not release it for many months. I've been sitting on this album for a while.
Welcome everyone. If you're watching this is probably the 7,000th stream or camera or audio or some other form of technical medium practice or rehearsal or test or Lord knows. Anytime I try to assess where I'm at within the pragmagic current, I realize that I do too much. But there is reprieve, a confluence of things. I see things breathing and generating and converging from the disparate practices, or once thought disparate practices, of hauntomancy, divergent magic of Revel Roz's music, of audiomancy, of We the Hallowed. All of it seems to be combining. And yes, this is technically one of the many tests. In the back of my mind, and without letting you on too much, this is a new camera and a new wireless microphone apparatus. And it seems to be working. That is, if I don't trip over cabling or a battery dies or, God forbid, my tripod falls over again. If only you could see the blunders afoot of trying to do these things alone. Such is the process, though, and I've always been mired in the process. I dig the processes, but I also am weary about taking too long to birth things, for things to gestate, to malform and mutate. And it's interesting because in hauntomancy, an artistic pragmatic side of it and its practice side of it, it is a bit of a self-sample culture. And I keep coming up to, when are things, we'll just call that a ghost, when are things actually finished? And the answer to that, at least in my practice, is never. They're just given up on for a while, or allowed to encase a certain formation for however long, until untethered, frayed points of it or constructs of it continue to bark and mutate and evolve within. And that's when you pluck them and malform them, transform them, mutate them, and birth something new. And yes, in that case, sometimes it can be maddening. And in a economy, if you will, of content creation, it's a zero-sum game. In the sense that I want to care. I want the intention to be there, but I also want to exalt human error and mistake and all of the rough around the edges. So rarely is something not finished because I didn't think it was good enough. It's mainly because it is always allowed to be regurgitated and messed with and ruined. And I think as a creator, you are owed that right. Especially in this age of AI and all sorts of technosis, quote-unquote, and I put that in major quotes, you know, people are trying to rid of these processes. People are trying to compete with machines by allowing the machines to supersede the important processes that we hold dear. And the answer isn't a giant step backwards. It's not nostalgia. It's not, remember when the internet was a grand and Old West sort of place. No, it is very much a communion. with the inevitable and the transformable. And like anything, when people realize that the singularity most likely will not happen in the way everyone thought it might, and that the people running the platforms on which you share your identity and social media and spend your life now creating to share are run by madcap billionaires and people with little to no interest in the artistic process, I think we'll all get wise into understanding that everything will fall in place and that vulnerability will be sought, and these endless tests and these endless attempts at doing things from these mortal hands will kind of never cease to be amazing. Granted, I'm not saying that any of what I'm doing is amazing. I mean all this to say that I'm completely up against a culture and a timeline that merits itself on hustling and product creation in a hyper construct and construction to which I always knew, you know, there would be no competition. I've always put myself away and outside of any of those easily falling into sort of lines and ley lines. But it does get a bit wondrous when I find myself perfecting or working almost against myself, trying to figure and consort and rewrite and reconstruct. And that might be the untethered or untenable parts of hauntomancy, is knowing, understanding when a construction is constructed and to let it live and to let it breathe as is. Of course, jot the things that maybe still bark or irk or rhythms or melodies or, you know, drum sounds or writings or thoughts. Make a note, log that, allow that to branch off and mutate in other ways, but not at the expense of the initial intention, which is to construct something worthwhile and timeless and interesting and human. And I think I'm just forever battling against this accepted notion of content. But, you know, it is what it is. That all said, I'm also mired in the wondrousness of platforms like Patreon and things outside the purview of wide-eyed, you know, viewability. So I'm happy to share in the processes of drafts, of writing, of camera tests, of improvised monologues, whatever the fuck this is. Whatever expansive thing this might be when initially it was just supposed to be a camera and microphone test. But who knows? Like the four-track demos of Lou Barlow and Sebado, or, you know, the bedroom operatic constructions of a Daniel Johnston. Perhaps the medium is the message as well, and that lo-fi, low effort is part of the intention. And I hate that term, low effort. Let me excise that from the record. There's nothing low effort about four-track demos, and those of you who know, it's actually quite a fevered process creating such things. But more so, it's about the specter of knowing when something is finished. Yes, it might not have the ironed out or perfect expanded upon original vision, or, you know, you never were able to fit an orchestral section on that four-track cassette tape, but you know what? It sounds ready as is. And that's great too. There needs to be a place for that. I've been waiting to put out the new Pragmagic episode and behind the scenes testing all of this analog, you know, video equipment and hard sought rare magnetic tape constructions of analog projection feedback and all of that, and that's all wonderful, and there can be a prism of creation where you're always exploring and experimenting there too. But I don't want for that to just become the only avenue of which I deem something worthy to create within or share within. That now more than ever, sometimes these awkward camera tests and microphone tests and awkward angles of trying to get some footage of a magical corner, rarely photographed, and almost impossible to see it through a camera the way I see something, but getting it damn near close enough is good enough. And that's okay too. So while the new album, which had an earlier iteration that I scrapped and released on cassette only so that I could mature it and malform it, you know, and create the big new one that I'm currently working on, or this video essay thing that I'm trying to do transmedium like within video and podcasting and somatic magic, or printed cassettes and zines and We the Hollowed and the hard work that, you know, pages upon pages of an overview and outline of tenets and a credence of this open source art religion collective, all of this, all of these things are consistent. They are mired in the processes, and they are consistently being born. But sometimes it's okay in between to put on an awkward shirt, to sit in a rude corner with a even ruder aspect ratio, and record yourself off the cuff. Warts and all, fragmented thoughts and all. See what spills out, see what comes out. Maybe it looks great, maybe it doesn't, but hey, it's forever casted there. Drafts are now works of art themselves, and you can have your cake and eat it too, damn it. Or something like that. Anyway, I need a vacation. I am always in search of a routine, and this construction of this routinized processes through all the mediums and magics and things being created, but also wrestling with the somatic shared reality that we all battle within. And it seems to be that I will not yet be allowed to find such a routine, that you may hear just as much from me in the coming months as you have had, which is probably moot or mum if you're not a Patreon subscriber. And this is because things are changing. I'm not in the dimming room, possibly psychologically right now, to get used to having to work outside those confines of that sacred temple of creation, because things are changing. In the next few months, lives are going to be altered. Paths are going to be re-sewn into the fabric of the prospector, and hauntomancy marches on. Things are changing. It's been a long time since I treaded the liminal streams, so wanted to take this opportunity to kind of catch up and give some off-the-cuff guff about the goings-on and all the things that are happening. I hope you guys are doing well. I do a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of new processes. There's a lot of new things being, you know, focused and regurgitated and malformed and transmuted, kind of the boon and the issue as of late. As some of you patrons know, I posted a what was supposed to be another like millionth camera and microphone test, and I think I had just hit an apotheosis of disgruntled but also a form of like communication within this whole testing and tinkering phase where I just started to monologue, and it kind of became a testament to, you know, when an artist thinks something is done or is shareable, and it doesn't ever, it rarely has anything to do with perfection. It has everything to do with, you know, when the artist gives up or when they think that, you know, a vision is met or it's good enough. In my case, it's usually good enough. My continual experimentation with dead technology and, you know, old forms of media, especially equipment, battling these lifelines that are kind of intrinsic in them too. Like, are the batteries going to persist? You know, is the lithium, the actual elemental pieces of this equipment that has been discarded the last, you know, 30 years or whatever, is it going to give out? And unfortunately, I come across, you know, that is the cross to bear when working with, you know, all of this discarded dead technology, is you find that you may give it life and one last breath of gust, and mid, you know, focusing that journey or that finality of a vision, it gives out and it gives up the ghost. And that's just something, you know, you have to parlay with, I think, especially in deeply intrinsic artistic practices too, is that's what where the communion is that you're working with this technology, you're giving it life again, but, you know, it does in a way have a ghost all of its own, and it decides when, you know, it's had enough or the decay is too much. And, you know, you have a really expensive paperweight at the end of the day. And the dimming room here, you know, where I am floating in this kind of blue vortex, is a veritable cemetery of dead technology. My deep hope to routinize or to find these like conduits of ways where I can be multi-armed and multi-dimensional at the, you know, drop of a coin, and I have, you know, a cachet of weaponry at the battle station that I can pick and foresee, you know, a vision or like you know, paint a picture without so much back end hullabaloo. Like, that may just never happen the way I previously intended on wanting it. That, you know, part of this deep parlay within this artistic process, whether it's, you know, Pragmagic or We the Hallowed or, you know, the album, is that I'm always going to be contending with this, the dynamism of being deeply, you know, intentional with the pieces and the gear and the animism of what I'm working with or the space. And it can work against you sometimes, or it can have other intentions that it needs to figure out first. So I'm in a very deep process as of late of reflection. I'm getting the breath and like the awarded relaxation of knowing that the stress of time and self-imposed deadlines is so antithetical to, you know, the artistic process as a whole a lot of the time, especially in this age of fucking hyper hustle culture, content creation, you know, bullshit, that somehow psychically kind of poisons us all into thinking that, you know, we need to create at a momentum or produce at like a momentum akin to everyone else or on some sort of circadian rhythm that's attached to everything else. And, you know, that's just not the case. Granted, I still do a lot and I'm forever finding ways to like tickle that part of myself that wants combustible, you know, creative exorcisms while also tending to the big ideas and big projects. And yeah, so as of late, I've been really psychically kind of binding myself to that notion that, you know, leaving a lot of room up for transmutation or for things to change. I mean, the album that I've been working on forever, it's the first time in my life as a, you know, songwriter or as somebody that has recorded and released music, has not just released an album and, you know, moved on to the next album. You know, I released this last album or that iteration, this guy, you know, on cassette tape. And that was a way of putting it to bed, but knowing it wasn't finished, that I was going to keep working on it. It wasn't right yet, or it didn't attune to the vision, and being okay with however long that took. And of course, you know, in the throes of life and schisms and reality and the shared somatic reality, you know, life happens. And now what I had thought was going to be a routinization has been appended, and I'm going to be relocating to Portland, Oregon in the fall, full time. Back to Portland, back to the place that created pretty much the track that I'm on now. So I'm really swept up in this reflective moment, which I know some of you might be thinking, like, no shit, Sherlock, you created, you know, a metaphysical practice that dances with ghosts of the past. Like, I'm sure you're fucking reflective all the time, right? But, and even with that too, you know, how Hauntomancy started, that was, that first working brought me to Portland. Was it 4 years ago, 3 years ago? It brought me to Portland in the same quadrants when I was trying to invoke the year of 2017. And instead, because, you know, I'm not time traveling, all it could do was put me in the same ingredients or around the same ecosystem of what I was invoking. So I was in the same house after that working. I got a job offer that took me back to the company, the outdoor education program I was working in, staying at the same house Mary and I kindled our relationship with in 2017. I was completely thrusted back in the Portland atmosphere, but, you know, time is linear, right? So everything had kind of moved on that needed to move on. So I knew then that I wasn't ready to go back to Portland, and that, you know, that specter working was only the first part of an ongoing hauntomantic practice. And here I am, you know, many hauntomancy practices later, and I am now being almost awarded the return to Portland, knowing what I know now, had worked through a lot of the traumas and kind of like, you know, undead ghosts and things that wouldn't have been healthy or given me the ability to do so when it first thrust me in. And, you know, through the hauntomancy practice too, I've realized that like no one practice is singular. It's almost like you need the marriage of the specter, the aspector, and the prospector, and this kind of spiral, you know, this loop, the dissolve, echo, resonar, then dissolving that, echoing, resonating, you know, it is this kind of cyclical force. It's, I don't know if there's a term I'm sure there is in philosophy. It's almost like a positive or more of an idealistic eternal return, like a Nietzschean eternal return, but one that isn't, you know, a hell that you must transcend, even though that is part of it, and the positivity is kind of in that transcendental movement. I don't know. Portland was the first city that I chose that had no relation. I had no family, no friends. I was 18, 19 years old, jumped off a train, and Portland became this thing in my life that, whether I like it or not, is an unmovable, unshakable foundational force. And I think when I look deeply into what the last 5 years provided, not counting my sojourn to Denver, you know, I have moved a lot in the past 5 years. But when I think about leaving Portland in 2019, I think about a lot of unfinished business, but I think about it being something that I needed to leave. It had hit a point where I needed to test what I had gained and the momentum that I had, and I needed to break that down. I needed to dissolve that, right? And then I needed to find out what to echo, what actions, what things, what builds me as a human, you know, what's in my DNA. And a lot of that stuff, you know, was situated, was orchestrated, was created in Portland. It birthed my dog, you know, it birthed my relationship, it birthed We the Hallowed, it birthed Prag Magic, it birthed Revelator Roz, it birthed, you know, some of my best testaments and architectural, you know, artistic moments. It's, whether I like it or not, it's for all intents and purposes, like where I'm from. It's the place I've lived the longest in my life, even though that's not saying much. I think collectively I've lived there 10 years, which is longer than any city I've lived in my life. And yeah, like I was saying, it wanted to thrust me back there when I started Hauntomancy. It wanted to put me back. Oh, you want to invoke 2017, the bounties of 2017 that birthed, you know, your relationship, that birthed, the podcast, that birthed Cactus Crown, the Dakota Slim album, that birthed all these magnanimous things. Well, here, I can't, you know, Hauntomancy was basically saying, I can't, you know, give you those things as they were, but I can put you back in the same environment because, you know, a lot of things have moved on since then. So here you go. And that's, you know, that's what happened. I was thrust back there and was like, whoa, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to be back here yet. I'm not done here. And so I jumped ship. But if it wasn't for that, for initial thrust back into Portland, I wouldn't have been on the, you know, the career path I am now that has like afforded me freedom and some structure that I will be taking with me to Portland. You know, it feels earned. It feels like a prodigal son kind of moment in that, you know, I am bringing back a changed and attuned kind of self. I'm going to miss this dimming room, though. What has come out of this room, this sacred space, has been so foundational and like so magnanimous. People want to make mistakes. People want human error. People want, you know, the vulnerability. They want the blemishes and the roughness. And like, we don't need everything to be perfect. We don't need, you know, everything to be clean and docile. We want rough and tumble, and we want messy. And a lot of that still exists in this shared somatic realities. And I have an idea to help fill that hole once we get situated in Portland. And it has a lot to do, and it's tethered with a space, because I want to bring back what we were doing with the Hallowed, was the monthly salons, the in-person performance variety show salons, If you listen to the first episodes of Prague Magic, those were all interviews recorded in front of a live audience. And those were from those salons. And I want to bring that back. But now, because of where technology is, how I learned to live stream, and all these other back-end processes with what I do as far as like event technology and broadcast and all that, merging all that together, that would be paramount. Be paramount to do an in-studio audience, more interactive thing in person with interacting with, you know, people who aren't there, but people in the chat and all of that. Right now, like, I was just working on this. This is, how many pages right now? 27, single space, but this is the We the Hollowed organization and scripture outline. So this is our back-end work for this re-fortification of We the Hollowed, as far as like member services, as far as like the metaphysics of it, as far as the pragmatic, you know, results of it, the titles, roles, situations, you know, there's so much here. And Eric Millar and I have been working really hard in the back end. 10 years later, here we are, and we should have this printed and published relatively soon, you know. So that's a huge, huge thing for us at the moment. And that all comes into what we were talking about, where, you know, if we host these monthly, at least monthly salons, maybe it can be more shows or broadcasts under We the Hollowed doing different things. But it would also, you know, that's part of all of this foundational structure as well. So that's a little insight on that. That's I've shared a rough draft of it through Patreon. We've changed a lot of that since, which reminds me, this week I'll share an updated draft. I've been trying to keep patrons privy of all of the back end structuring, even the wooest of woo that's in there, or the philosophical, existential, nutsoid ramblings, all of it. Been trying to keep people, you know, privy and aware of those processes, because I want you included. I want people included to see how we are formulating this thing, how 10 years of constituting, you know, a publishing and multimedia magical, you know, collective here. We the Hollowed has turned into this huge kind of fountain where if you go to wethehollowed.org, it's our archives of everything. We now, you know, integrated a store. This is our somatic stuff that we've been doing, which has been going well. Actually, next month, because of my moving, we've initiated artist curated somatic packages. So next month, Eric Millar is going to curate the package for somatic subscribers. So it's going to be printed, published books and stuff. It's going to be really exciting. And if you go to the store, you can see all the recent stuff here. I just put the first episode of Hauntomancer that's on cassette tape that only patrons, only somatic patrons have had access to, is now public. People can order it. Same with the new album or Eric's recent published zines. All the books, like all of this, it makes sense to me how to branch all of this. This is what We the Hollowed was always intended to be, was a kind of umbrella, an ability, like an avenue and a current to publish all of this stuff, whether it's like, you know, these printed newsletters or, you know, even hosting articles on the site. You know, here I talk about the last, or how it was started. There I am announcing to the world We the Hollowed 10 years ago. At an art gallery. That was my room back then. This is the digs of mine all the way back then in Portland. Just a scramble-brained ruffian creating all this stuff. But yeah. So all of that is like, it makes sense when people say you need to do things for 10 years before you kind of like figure out what it is. I think that's true about everything I've done with Dakota Slim, with the music, with We the Hollowed. Eric's putting out amazing book reviews that are getting, widely circulated, which is really cool. So the website's still going strong. We have spent 10 years building all of this, and I feel like it's finally coming to a head. And it's just so funny that it's coming to a head that are abound. Like I'm very aware, like I'm, whether it's Hauntomancy and those workings and thrusting me back into Portland and like spending too much time tinkering with back end things that it's getting in the way of actually creating. Like I'm listening, I'm paying attention to those specters. I'm paying attention to We the Hollowed. I'm noticing the 10-year nostalgia loop, as Jonathan had pointed out from our dear friend C.W. Chanter. I'm noticing how to dance with that 10-year nostalgia loop, how to commune with it, how to work with it, how to progress with it. I'm paying attention. I'm hearing all of the signs, and I'm heeding them. I'll get around to editing some form of Prag Magic episode. Maybe I'll take some from this Patreon, stream and hobble together some form of testament that I can publish out into the world saying, hey, we have all this crazy stuff happening. We've never been more productive creatively wise, but I'm also moving to Portland, so things might be stuttered. But hey, I'm moving to Portland. Like, remember that? Remember the Portland occult podcast triangle with Arnomancy and Alex Cast? That can happen again. I'm in that tryst where I'm taking my time, I'm being present, I'm relishing and reveling in the bounties of the past 4 or 5 years in Seattle. And I'm also future casting, as hard as I can about what's going to happen once we touch Earth in Portland. And I will be in and out of Portland over the next few months looking at places and dotting this line. But it was important to me to at least be off the cuff and just tell you guys, what's been happening. I feel like I haven't been as like fluid about all the goings on, and it's great to see you. I will probably cobble something together to put out to the public world, a Prag Magic, episode, saying all of this maybe in a more concise manner. But there's a lot coming, and I'm really excited about it. But I'm also trying to remain present and enjoy, this nape of summer that is about to be a transformative few months while things get radically different the next year or so. More music, too. I will have, I'm thinking a single at least for the new album will be done before the fall. And I'm thinking the album probably should be out around Halloween, honestly. That's what I'm shooting for, because I've gotten so far with it. Such a resonant piece of work that's coming down the line. And I can say that pretty much about everything. So, whew. Anyways, thank you so much for hanging out and joining me. And yeah, there's so much more down the line. But I think I'll end it there and let you good folks get back to your lovely Sundays. I was born on a Sunday, and I shall rest on one too. Big love to everybody.
Commonplace. You can move, you can reel. bottom of my heart, thank you to my lovely patrons for supporting We the Hallowed, Prague Magic, Revelator Ross, Dakota Slim, and this Media Magic Currents that are forever toiling and bubbling. And thank you for putting up with my insane and chaotic nature and hyper posting. Every week you are being inundated on a updated draft, a book, a forthcoming Substack article, a new rendition of a song from the forthcoming album, Patreon only video, just fun updates. I use Patreon specifically as my only social media, really. Everything else is in service to Patreon, and so without you, I wouldn't be able to do any of it. Thank you very much, Austin Ashley. Lindsay Pinzer of the Pins Punks. Mr. Thomas Wiston. Appreciate it, sir. Kendall. Kendall, thank you very much. Madam Psychotic. Boy, I know who you are, and you know I got you. The Bright Star of Kane, the Rhythm Mancer himself. Thank you. Miss Elena, or Sorceress Homie. Thank you very much. I actually have her wonderful created tarot gradation, color spectrum induced multi-current tarot deck, and it's incredible. I used this in a working couple months ago. Mr. Chet Czar, it's an honor, sir. What an incredible artist. Thank you very much. Alex Ledbetter, thanks, man. Miss Jenny Rockwell, my very inspiring human being. I appreciate you. Mr. Commonwealth Chanting, or as he is now known as Peace Chanter. Corianne, thank you. Gassia, and Spooky. Tony Davis, Wilderness Survival Wizard, and Dr. Vanessa Sinclair and Carl Abrahamson, who I would consider, whether they would consider it or not, as de facto mentors of mine. My old Portland occult triangle compatriot, Mr. Eric Arneson of Arnomancy, Donicide, who appreciate you, and of course, Jilly Beans. If I missed your name in this list of active patrons, I apologize. Please let me know. I will record something and add it to this Patreon sundry. And I also want to thank all of the past members. I still appreciate your patronage, and thank you for doing so for as long as you did, for however long as you did. It went to good use. It's still going to good use. And so thank you very much to everyone at patreon.com/pragmagic. It's been a long time coming, and giving my kudos and graciousness and gratitude to all of you for hanging there with me. All of you have been more privy to the goings-on than I should probably be willing to give out. But, hey, we're all just works in progress. Thank you all, especially